Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Tens of millions are spent on emergency homeless accommodation every year. Some of it is spent through NGOs, charities and housing supports, while a significant portion goes to private providers. Now, these can be hotels, B&Bs or apartments. The figures involved are staggering, and some say there's very little independent quality audit of what service users are getting. Well, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been investigating this for us. And Brian, your interest was piqued by an ad you saw.
There was a very interesting story, Claire, in the Dublin Inquiry by Leisha Neelan at the end of January, and it was on the sale of a privately run homeless hostel in Dublin, Ardfert House. It had 28 rooms for residents and the price tag was $3.2 million. Now, the advert stated that Dublin City Council had a 10-year lease on the building, pays just $480,000 a year in that rent. The blurb gave an estimated profit of $250,000 per year, which is a very healthy return for any prospective owner. And I suppose this story led to calls for closer examination of exactly how much is being paid for private emergency homeless accommodation, what are we getting in return for that investment, and could that money be put to better long-term use?
I know you spend some time trying to get the breakdown in terms of what we spend on this nationally, and in some areas the information isn't readily available.
It's quite difficult to try and get that breakdown. For example, I began by asking the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage, well, how much do we spend on private emergency homeless accommodation? They were able to tell me what the overall spend on homeless accommodation was. So some of it, as you said in the intro, goes to charities, to NGOs, to housing supports, but a very big chunk of it goes to private operators. So the overall spend, it's actually jumped hugely from 2018. $139 million we were spending on homeless services. It's doubled last year to $271 million. Now, some of that is additional costs related to COVID. The allocation, I understand, for this year will be about $218 million. So in terms of what percentage of that goes to private operators, the department told me, well, they don't fund services directly. They provide funding to local authorities. They have a statutory responsibility. So they provide the funding. It's up then to the local authorities to control the spending.
And you spoke to Councillor Anthony Flynn from Inner City Homeless because he's been looking at the figures as well. And did you get a breakdown from some city councils?
Dublin City Council, as you would expect, is the largest spender, and the services are funded and operated by the Dublin Regional Homeless Executive. So just to give you a sense of the figures and what is spent on private operators, in 2019, the spend overall was just over $170 million. Now, of this, just over half, $90 million, went to private operators. Last year, the spend just over $160 million, and of that, $78.3 million, so just under half, was spent on hotels, commercial facilities and private operators. I got the figures from Limerick and Cork also, but as you said before that, I spoke to Dublin City Councillor Anthony Flynn. He's CEO of Inner City Helping Homeless. This is why Anthony Flynn thinks there needs to be closer scrutiny now of how much we're paying and the kind of accommodation we're getting in return.
The expenditure on private emergency accommodation has increased dramatically, particularly in Dublin.
What is so wrong in a way with councils going into the market and securing private emergency accommodation and taking people off the streets?
Well, I suppose in general what we saw over a number of years, that accommodation would have been generally provided through the NGO sector, which would have meant that wraparound support services would have been provided to individuals that are on site. The Deputy Chief Executive himself at Dublin City Council has admitted that the same level of service is not provided within the private emergency accommodation sector that is provided within the NGO sector. And not only that, what we've seen are dramatic cost inflations in terms of the private emergency accommodation sector, and those that have previously provided direct provision accommodation have now moved into that sector as well. So, you know, we're seeing many, many private operators move into this market, but we're not seeing any competition in the market. We're not seeing any reduction in the costs, and we're certainly not seeing any improvement in service. If anything, services and wraparound support services are failing within those facilities.
And I suppose is the point here, Anthony, that if you spend a lot of money on private emergency homeless accommodation, that money can't be used to build long-term housing?
Well, this has been an argument for a long time in regard to the build of long-term housing. What do we do with the people that are in those emergency accommodation units? And obviously, we have to provide that accommodation in the interim. But the fact of the matter is, what we're doing is maintaining and sustaining homelessness. You know, we're not trying to eradicate or end homelessness in any way, shape or form here.
What is the standard in general terms of that private emergency accommodation?
So the standards are very, very low within these facilities. We are in a position where we've asked for HICWA to have a mandatory inspection regime within those emergency accommodation facilities as well. Look, the fact of the matter is the same level of service is not being provided, and we need to have a full overhaul and review on how we move forward with these units and these accommodation procedures going forward, because we've seen an increase and a solid increase in people entering that that cohort. So, you know, how we tackle that and how we move forward is obviously that we need to ensure that we have proper emergency accommodation, and that's up to standard.
So that's Councillor Anthony Flynn from Inner City Helping Homeless there. And you also look, Brian, at Cork and Limerick City Councils. How much are they spending on this kind of accommodation?
Yes, in 2020, Cork City Council spent £5.72 million on emergency homeless accommodation. Now, of that, quite a significant percentage, £3.94 million, was spent on what they called unscheduled accommodation. So again, I understand that's hotels, B&Bs, for example, short-term lets. In Limerick, the total bill in 2020 was £5.873 million. Of this, just under half, £2.32 million, that was for private operators. That represents an increase of just under half a million on private emergency accommodation since 2019. So that gives you a sense of how much of a percentage is now being spent on private operators.
Brian, thank you very much for that. And I'm joined now by Brendan Kenny, who's Deputy Chief Executive of Dublin City Council, and also Pat Doyle, who's Chief Executive of the Peter MacVerry Trust. Good morning to you both. And Brendan, if I can start with you, and just looking at what Anthony Flynn was saying there, his main point is that the services aren't in place when you're using private providers to provide the homeless accommodation.
Good morning, Claire. I think the first thing to say is that there's no question of avoiding scrutiny. Like in 2020, we paid out £7.73 million to the NGOs, £41 million to the private operators we're talking about, and £36.4 million for hotels and commercial facilities. And that's to cater for the awful homeless crisis that we have in Dublin. And we had no option but to go out and go out very quickly in the last 2 years and find accommodation. Otherwise, there would be people dying on the street, and otherwise people would have died through COVID. About 1,000 new beds had to be provided in the last 2 years. And as well as that, we moved about 1,000 people out of emergency accommodation last year. That's 2,000 people within 2 years. So we have no option to do what we have done. And we're quite satisfied with the service we're getting from the private operators, and we think it's reasonable value for money. But certainly...
Yeah, I suppose when you outline it like that and you say this was an emergency measure, we would have had people dying on the streets if we didn't do it. You can understand why people would raise questions about the quality of that accommodation if they're the circumstances that you're having to procure it.
No, my point is we have to be sure quickly to get accommodation for people. We have a property team, a very experienced property team that are monitoring this accommodation. We work very closely with Dublin Fire Brigade on fire safety issues. We work very, very closely with planning enforcement. We're watching over these places all the time. We have a lot of people going in, and Anthony mentioned about wraparound services. Yes, the private providers don't provide wraparound services, but we have a lot of services going into these private operations, including the HSC, Danny Liffey, drugs project, ourselves, and any kind of problems like that, that would be noticed, they come back to us very quickly.
What about Anthony Flynn's idea that you should have HICWA going in and checking these places, mandatory checks on the standards?
That's not our call, Claire. Like, if the government wants to appoint HICWA to monitor emergency accommodation homeless, we have no difficulty whatsoever with that. Mm-hmm. We're going through a procurement process at the moment where we're going to commission a private company to take over the inspection role, so that there'll be a professional people going around visiting all the premises, including the NGO ones as well, and it'll be done on a regular basis, and we'll publish all those reports, and we hope to have that in place by the end of the summer.
Pat, do you share concerns at the Peter MacVerry Trust that the standards aren't great in some instances in these privately provided accommodation units for people who are homeless?
Well, good morning, Claire. The services are definitely different. I can't comment on the standards, but what I can say is that the service is different. In the Peter MacVerry Trust, along with all the other voluntary housing providers, which receive twice as much money than that of the privates to provide accommodation for homeless people. We have a complete set of well-developed wraparound services. But my argument is, and I think Brendan shares this, my argument with this is that we need to be taking a proportion of the homeless budget and moving it towards housing, moving it towards solutions, giving people a key to the door. So what we're busy doing in partnership with the DRHE and Dublin City Council, and we're doing it with all the local authorities on the Eastern Seaboard, is we're working in housing first. So we want to see the money going to housing first. And that doesn't require then appointing standards and, an organisation to look at standards, although we welcome that.
Yeah, well, how do you divert money, though, if you need it to keep people from dying on the streets, as Brendan has explained?
Yeah, exactly what we're doing with Dublin City Council at the moment, to give you one pilot that we're going to be doing with Dublin City Council in a partnership with the DRHE, is we're taking a hostel in the north inner city that houses about 80 people. And we've bought the property on either side of that, and we're going to take that hostel, we're going to house those who are in it, get them accommodation, a key to the door, and then we're turning that hostel into a 16 apartments.
Who has bought the properties? The trust?
The trust will buy it in partnership with local government, with Dublin City Council and the Department of Housing under Rebuilding Ireland. And we're going to turn that hostel into a permanent accommodation. So that 80-bed hostel will turn into 16 apartments. And we've bought the building next door that will turn into 12 apartments. So between the two, we'll probably get about 28 apartments. It's less beds, but it's a permanent solution. It gives people a key to the door and takes them out of homelessness.
Yeah, I would imagine, though, that the trust and other organisations like you wouldn't have the capacity to repeat that sort of process on scale.
Well, I that's the challenge, and that's what we want to do. I think at the moment the trust has 338 units in the pipeline, and we want to bring other... I'm president of the Irish Council for Social Housing, and we've been putting that out to all our voluntary housing providers that they need to engage in housing first. What we need to do is bring the spend down on emergency and bring the spend up on housing first.
Yeah, just coming
and
back,
Brendan supports that, I think.
Brendan, just coming back to you on where this all started, you know, Brian O'Connell talking about that ad that he saw where an estate agent was suggesting just how much profit can be made from homeless accommodation. Are you uncomfortable with that?
Well, we have to pay, Claire. If we're taking accommodation, taking property from people and use it for emergency accommodation for homes, we have to pay for that.
I know, but to have somebody trying to sell a property and saying, look, this is a slam dunk because the lads in the council are going to make you rich.
Well, we've been using that particular premises, I'm fully aware of, for the last 10 years, and really good service. Overall, the private emergency accommodation works out about €35 a bed per night. So it's reasonable value for money. And that particular house that's been mentioned, we've actually bought that in recent weeks ourselves and the McFerry Trust. And the McFerry Trust will be running that. And the longer term aim is, as Pat says, to convert it into apartments. So we have been in a bad position for the last year. We're heading towards a better position now, Claire. We have beds free every night. So we can actually start thinking about being more strategic long term. And the whole idea would be to eliminate a lot of these private operations. And if we can buy them and convert them into one bedroom apartments for single homeless people, that is the long term aim that we have.
Okay, Brendan Kenny and Pat Doyle, thank you both for joining us on the programme. We'll take a break.